the best of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Guestapalooza this morning.
Yep.
Holy moly. Representative Shelley Pinegree, hopefully moments away. Representative Alan Grayson in the wildly popular feature Face the Grayson coming up in less than half an hour. Representative Maxine Waters next hour from the great state of California. Representative Linda Sanchez from the great state of California. And then in hour number three, country singer Shelley Wright, who just became the first country star to come out as openly gay. A big, and you told her to bring her guitar, apparently. Do you understand the logistics in New York? I can't even get my keys here when I walk 40 blocks or whatever.
Well, Yo-Yo Ma stuffed his cello in the trunk of a cab.
She's right now probably looking for a trolley of some sort. All right, StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Ward, associate producer Rebecca Taylor, or me, Stephanie Miller. Mama will be on the Ed Show tonight on MSNBC.
Oh, okay. Good to know.
Oh, I forgot to
mention
that to you.
Thank you.
Oh, so you could, okay, send the thing out to the people.
To the people.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Pardon me. I apologize. That'll be at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, the Ed Show on MSNBC. All right. We are joined by Representative Shelley Pinegree of the great state of Maine.
Pinegree.
Did I say that incorrectly? Good morning, Congresswoman.
Hi, how are you?
I'm sorry for massacring your name already this early.
You can just call me Shelley. That's okay.
Oh. I know. My mother wouldn't like that. She. I went to Catholic school. Congresswoman, first of all, let's say, you know, it is really hard to keep up with this oil spill, technically and otherwise, is it? I mean, it just... It's some sort of gardening show at this point. The saw got stuck, and now they're bringing in the giant garden shears or something. I mean, this is just, it gets worse every day, doesn't it?
It is. It's one bad story after another. And you feel like, you know, at this point, probably nothing that they're trying to do will fix it until this second well comes in in August. And that's just too long to wait. That is just unthinkable in my mind. I represent a coastal district. It is the state of Maine, and we're hoping this never comes as far as us. But I know how coastal communities feel and how our lobster fishermen would feel if they thought they were going out there every day with the potential of oil slicks getting in their way, or this ooze moving along the bottom doing all untold damage. It's just unthinkable, and how we got ourselves into this position is something, unfortunately, all of us know too much about.
Yeah. Well, Congresswoman, that's what obviously a lot of the debate has begun, is it just, you know, it seems so clear to so many of us that truly there is so much criminal aspect to this that, you know, are we leaving the criminals in charge of the crime scene at this point?
I couldn't be happier that the president has, you know, moved in with the Justice Department and said we have to start doing a criminal investigation. I personally think the administration has to take a little more charge of the cleanup here. I don't have the faith in BP that some people do, and I just think that they spent too long telling us it wasn't a big deal and, you know, they could take care of it while this was spilling out at far greater rates than anybody admitted to, and things going on the bottom that we can't even see.
Right, that they're telling us aren't happening anyway. That, oh, there's no plumes down there. I mean, almost everything they've said has turned out to be untrue thus far, hasn't it?
Yeah, welcome to sort of the corporate spin on this, I'd say. But this is quite serious, and I think the impact, as it moves along the coast and to this economy, this fishing industry, the tourism industry, and, you know, what could eventually come all the way up through the Gulf Stream and, you know, start heading over to Ireland and foreign countries.
Well, exactly. I mean, it just, you know, as I say, this horror seems to unfold daily, and now we've got hurricane season, and as you say, this could flow unabated through August. I mean, what is your take on drilling? Because I just think that you could not have a clearer case that we just do not have the technology to do this safely, you know, or know what to do if something does go wrong.
Well, I've been an opponent of offshore drilling. You know, I know we have a lot of leases in the Gulf, and I know that, you know, that's been an important source of oil for us, but we've often had proposals to drill up in the Gulf of Maine or the North Atlantic, more where I am, and I've just been opposed to it all along. I look at the potential damage to our fishing industry and think, and to our recreation industry, and think that we just couldn't sustain it. You know, we've invested a lot here on offshore wind, and frankly, there are those people who don't want to look at a wind tower or have other concerns about it. But, you know, when an offshore wind tower falls over, you know, there's a little bit more breeze that day. There's no hidden damage, and
right.
It's renewable. There is no spill that affects everything else. And mm-hmm. I just see this as the perfect time to say, when are we going to invest in these resources that we know how to do, that foreign countries are very involved in doing,
right.
Yet we're so tied to the oil people who give us, you know, very little in return in terms of cleanup money, royalties, you know, all the things that we need when we do have a disaster, and clearly are ill-prepared, basically because they've been so under-regulated.
Well, exactly, and I think, you know, that just can't be said too much, that, you know, we had a couple of oil guys in the White House that put these regulation, you know, this lack of regulation in place, and, you know, we've seen the report already for what was going on before President Obama even got in. So, I think it couldn't be clearer that, you know, something's got to change in a huge way in terms of regulation.
Well, you know, it's a tough situation. When you're a policymaker, you're working in politics, state legislators face this, and we see it in Congress. You know, you're always faced with all the businesses that come before you and say, you know, what we need is less regulation, and all these nitpicky rules, you know, they're not creating jobs, and they're not getting you the resources that you need. And, you know, little by little, you cave, and you say, okay, sorry we bothered you, you know. You go out there and drill, and you, particularly in this last administration where they had, you know, oilmen in charge of regulating oilmen,
right.
you just don't get the kind of oversight that you need. And then you know, then those of us who serve in government wonder why everyone gets so mad at government. Well, basically because those are clear cases where we're ineffective at our job because we don't have the guts to stand up to people who make the campaign contributions and want to tell you what to do.
Yep, absolutely. Congresswoman Pingree, let's talk about the Child Nutrition Reauthorization Act that I know you've been working on. Tell us about that.
Well, you know, that comes up for reauthorization every 5 years, and we had Deputy Secretary Kevin Concannon up in our state. We're on a recess, and he came up and did a little roundtable with a lot of people involved in school lunch programs, food to farming programs, a variety of other things. We're very interested in what will happen in the reauthorization for a variety of reasons. One, we know that childhood obesity is on the rise. Our kids aren't eating well. Childhood diabetes is at an alarming rate. Anytime you have the chance to sit down and eat in a school cafeteria, you'll probably find that the food isn't necessarily something you thought your kids should be eating every day if you're thinking about how to develop healthy eating habits and, you know, how to just have a healthier country. Michelle Obama has been great putting a focus on this. She's so focused on it, she put an organic garden in the backyard of the White House. And, you know, we're very interested in seeing there have a real transition in the school lunch program. So,
right. I think, you know, you got to start somewhere because it's just, boy, that's when you feel old, isn't it? When you look around and you just go, oh, kids these days. But it's, you know, it's true.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to look around and go, wow, this is really a problem. I mean, you know, you know, certainly, like you say, there's always been childhood obesity. But, I mean, again, just looking around, you can see this is, even if before you look at figures, you know, this is really a big problem. And it's going to impact our healthcare system for years and years.
And you know what's amazing is one of the schools we visited built a small greenhouse off the back of the school, and the kids go out there and they raise, you know, kale and Swiss chard and spinach. They learn a little bit about growing a plant. They get all excited about harvesting it. They bring it into the school cafeteria. They cook it up, and in fact, the kids like to eat it. And many of them go home and say, "Hey, Mom, you should buy this stuff. It's called
right.
Swiss chard." You know, because
right.
most families today, they're busy. They're on the run. They get what comes out of a package, and they don't have time to do these things,
mm-hmm.
or they don't know enough about it.
I know. I have one of my best friends who's, who's concerned about her daughter, you know, and she's also gained weight. And so that's, you know, but she's been talking about, you know, she's, you know, working on her own eating habits so she can encourage her daughter, you know, to eat better and to take off some weight, too, for both of their health. So I think it does. It starts in school and it starts at home.
Well, this is the perfect time to change it in the Reauthorization Act. They're putting money in there so that more schools can buy directly from farmers. You know, a lot of schools, they want to make the transition, but they weren't even built with the equipment to store vegetables, to properly steam them or process them. You know, we designed a food system around commodity, around big agriculture. You know, open up a can, pour it in there, heat it up, and then wonder why the kids throw it away. There's a lot of change in the system and potential for really making sure that we have less kids going hungry, more kids eating healthy foods, and really are engaging more of the local farmers and helping kids understand where food comes from, but also making sure that they eat something healthy. So there's an increase in the budget. It sounds simple, and it sounds actually like, you know, why are you even talking about this? This should be a no-brainer. But the fact is, we have an agriculture system that's based on very different principles, eating lots of processed foods, you know, way too much corn syrup and sweeteners and fillers. And this is a big change, and I applaud the Secretary of Agriculture for really trying hard to make a change.
Well, Congresswoman Pinkery, we always appreciate you taking time to check in with us on that and other topics. We appreciate it. We'll see you again soon.
Okay, nice talking to you.
You too. There she goes, Representative Shelley Pinkery of the great state of Maine.
That's right.
You know, I have a friend, Chris, did I tell you this, that's a Cape Cod? And you know who's a big fan of the Stephanie Miller newscast?
Who?
All the oystermen up there.
The number one show for oystermen on
Cape Cod. Oystermen in Cape Cod.
All right.
Thank you, oystermen.
We love ourselves some oystermen.
But seriously, she brings up just in terms of this oil spill. I mean, how about that? Just your whole way of living and way of life and making a living just gone, just poof, you know, because of this oil spill.
Right.
All right. We'll talk about
that. I don't know that I've ever heard a kid say, hey, Mom, let's have some Swiss chard tonight.
Yeah, that's if we could just encourage the use of that sentence more.
Have you ever had Swiss chard?
You know, Mom, what's missing in our lives is kale.
Yeah.
All right, 17 minutes after the hour. Right back with the latest on the oil spill and what James Cameron has to do with it.
What?
As we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, my God, that's kind of hot.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Oh, just take there I am, 1980. College uni dorm at USC after a garbage can full of hurricane punch. Oh, good times, good times, good times. Down. Down.
Did you yak while pogoing to this song?
22 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Mark in Birmingham, Michigan on the oil spill. Hi, Mark.
Hi.
Hi.
You know, I can't believe that the congresswoman is still blaming President Bush. If you're rational about this, why are we drilling so far offshore? We can drill closer to shore, and we don't have to have robots.
Yeah, so the oil can hit the shore a lot quicker. I think that's a better idea.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah.
We're sort of addicted to oil. Do you drive at all? You need oil.
No, I live in New York now, but that's not important. Anyway.
Are you going to put a windmill on your car? Get real. We have to drill.
So you don't think we should try to decrease our dependence on oil at all? You think this is
it?
Is this affecting you at all when you look at this?
It's a 19th century technology, Mark. We have better technologies.
Does anyone even use ethanol? Give me a break.
Talking about
we shouldn't do a thing to try to decrease our dependence. We should we should keep having these drilling disasters.
You won't have these drilling disasters if you drill closer to shore.
Oh,
I
see.
Can't believe.
Mark, how about using hydrogen?
Oh, give me a break. Where are you going to get hydrogen?
There's a hydrogen filling station right down the street from where I'm sitting right now.
Yeah, in Michigan, there aren't any hydrogen. I don't see any. hydrogen.
That's because the infrastructure, we haven't invested in the infrastructure. We need to invest in the infrastructure.
Right. We shouldn't try to invest in clean energy at all, is what you're saying. We should just.
A decade away. You're living in a utopia. Granholm in Michigan has been preaching this windmill fantasy.
Absolutely.
And it's gotten us nowhere.
Mark, what do we do? So we don't try at all. We don't try at all. We just.
But it has nothing to do with oil. Oil will be here for a good long time.
And we need to get ourselves off of it.
No, and we need to drill closer to shore.
Oh, I see.
Well, you're protecting the environment,
Mark,
and ruining the environment.
Mark, the United States only has 2% of the oil reserves available.
In the entire world.
In the entire world.
Really? You think that that's a good idea, to drill more and more? The Arctic wildlife refuge closer to shore?
You drill in Alaska. You drill wherever it is. You don't drill where you can't fix. You don't use technology to drill without having the technology to repair. That you're protecting the environment by forcing the companies to drill offshore, and then when they want to drill closer.
This is a right-wing talking point I've heard over and over again.
Why don't you let me finish?
Because this isn't your show.
Yeah, but you can
Mark, this is a right-wing talking point that if we could only drill in closer, then this wouldn't happen.
You have to drill. 10 years from now, we'll all be plugging into, using banana peels or whatever, or hydrogen.
Don't make light of this.
Well, you make light of every single, what you call right-wing talking point. So once in a while, to make light of a left-wing talking point is, a breath of fresh air for you guys.
But you're mocking trying to decrease our dependence or develop invest at all in clean energy.
This is Stephanie Miller talking about mocking. You mock every – that's all your show is
Mark,
about.
Mark, calm down.
Well,
calm down.
You can't blame BP. We have the environmental –
Oh, yes, I can. What do you mean? Yes, I can. I can't blame BP. Jeez. All right.
Yeah.
He was getting a little hysterical, God's sakes.
And mocking, I dare say.
I think someone has a mommy problem.
I think he does.
Then let's go to Kim. And I think his mother was a mocker.
Uh-huh.
Kim in St. Paul, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Well, yeah, Tule McTulerson there. Of course we have an oil economy because that's all the government has invested in and subsidized for decades. I mean, we'll never get off our oil addiction if we continue to subsidize freeways and gas infrastructure and everything else. And
Thank you. Continue to allow
companies to shelve better technologies.
Kim, you are the smartest girl in class this morning because that's what the president said.
The only way the transition to clean energy will ultimately succeed is if the private sector is fully invested in this future. And the only way to do that is by finally putting a price on carbon pollution.
Yep.
Exactly. You know, you have to make an effort, Chris. You've got to invest in clean energy, and you've got to try to get – nobody's saying we're stopping using oil today or tomorrow.
And Fox News was all over that line from his speech yesterday saying, he wants to tax the oil companies more. He wants to tax big business more.
Wow. Let's call a whambulance.
Do you realize how many tax breaks the oil companies have already? God.
Did he just say to me you can't blame BP for this?
Yes, he did.
What?
That's insane.
You are an idiot.
You know, Chris, I might venture to say that's the most insanely idiotic thing that I've heard. Why? I think even
what you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I apologize. Todd in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Go Wake Forest.
Hey,
hi, Todd.
Where was this guy in 1900? Was he like, who needs cars and oil?
Right.
We've got this horse and buggy.
That's a proven technology.
Yeah, you and your crazy things with the whatever. You put the gas in and there's a pedal. What?
Yeah, it's just a backward way of thinking.
Right.
Is what it is.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah. He was probably standing behind Mr. Edsel doing the...
Mr. Edsel?
Mr. Ford. Whoever.
Edsel Ford
was... first car? I don't
know. Edsel Ford was Henry Ford's son. Okay.
Yeah, it's just something. Mr. Packard. All right. Listen,
Mr.
the
Chrysler.
Important thing is it's time to face the grace and
hop
on those phones. Time for the wildly popular new feature with Congressman Alan Grayson. Face the Grayson, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
If there was one thing
Stephanie Miller
was sure of, it was that her brand of tuna was best.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. You know, so many reasons I'm a geek, Chris, but the biggest reason I'm a geek?
Why?
May it be that this is my favorite time of the week.
Is
now.
It?
And now it's time for Congressman Alan Grayson and your chance to face the Grayson.
Yay, it's like getting a pony every week. Good morning, Congressman Grayson.
Good morning. This is really your favorite time of the week?
Isn't that sad?
No, it's true for me too, actually.
Aww. Thank
what
you,
a coincidence.
Thank you, Congressman. So the oil spill has turned into some sort of gardening show on acid. The giant... Shears are being brought in because the saw got stuck or something. This is just a disaster of epic proportions. It's hard to understate, isn't it?
It is, but I just want to make it clear that I didn't do it.
Because the right wing, I'm sure someone has said you have.
I swear I didn't do it. The Republicans think Obama did it. It's only a matter of time before they start blaming me, too. I swear I didn't do it.
It's so stated. So you are on record.
Yeah.
So, Congressman, we just had a right-wing caller, as we often do, who said, you know, this is because, well, essentially you're right, it's Obama's fault. It's because we have to drill out so far. We should be able to, if we could drill on land and right next to the shore and yada, yada. How do you answer that talking point?
I hang up on them. I think you should do the same thing.
Yes.
Well, I did, eventually.
Some people are just not worth talking to.
But this is the talking point, right? It's like, oh, well, we wouldn't have to drill so far offshore if they would let us drill closer.
I would simply say that that's stupid and move on.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. It sounded like, you know, he was basically saying, oh, it's crazy to even try and develop other forms of clean energy.
How about just tracking down every single person who said drill, baby, drill, and putting them all in prison? Why don't we do that?
There you go. Well,
Starting with Michael Steele.
Yeah, isn't that the galling thing about all this is that you're going, this is the drill, baby, drill crowd that put these regulations in place that is criticizing this president as if this is his fault?
Michael Steele coined that phrase at the Republican National Convention, and people thought that was so vivid and so moving and so eloquent, they actually made him the head of the party.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, I don't even know where to start on this because it just seems so clear that there is criminal liability here of the highest order, doesn't there?
Yes, but on BP's part.
Yeah, well, exactly.
Right.
Do you think Transocean and Halliburton are going to, you know, pay some sort of price as well?
I hope so because it's hard to believe that BP is liable all by itself for such a disaster like this. But in fact, I've tried to learn a little bit more about what happened the day of the explosion, mm-hmm. and it does seem like instructions from BP were a big cause of it.
Okay.
Yeah.
The tube that goes down to the well underneath the ocean was filled with drilling mud. And BP ordered that it be filled with seawater instead. A giant methane bubble came up from the bottom of the ocean, and I'm not going to continue any longer because I know your show is supposed to be interesting and not boring, and this is getting really geeky, so I'm going to stop right here.
It's like car talk or something, all right? Like tool time.
Yeah,
it's like
tool
Tim
time.
Allen's tool time. Congressman Grayson, what would you do if you're president? I mean, what do you make so far of the criticism of how the president has handled this? What we should do now? Where are you at with all this?
I would put on my red, white, and blue outfit with the giant S on the chest. I would dive into the ocean, go to the bottom, and make a pretzel out of that pipe so that the oil stopped coming out. That's what I would do if I were president.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, they do make it sound. I mean, in some quarters, like the president should be Aquaman. I mean, I feel like at some point, you know, this is, it really has been a perfect storm, hasn't it? I mean, we clearly, everything BP pretty much has said before this and during it has not been true. And the problem is they are the ones, though, with the expertise and the equipment. And so I'm not sure, you know, what else we could be doing than we're doing. Do you?
The way that you actually deal with this problem is you prevent it from happening in the first place.
Right.
This particular platform, this one platform, was cited 17 times in the past 10 years for violations.
Yeah.
17 times. So clearly people knew that there was something wrong going on here, and yet they let it go on and be used and be used for this purpose and lead to this disaster. If we had a tight enough safety regime, if we had a safety regime that didn't, as you pointed out a couple weeks ago, involve dead batteries at the bottom of the ocean, you know, then we probably wouldn't have this problem. But we have people who are operating these platforms and putting us all in this kind of risk and danger, who are the moral equivalent of Homer Simpson.
Oh, Tony in Louisiana, time to face the Grayson. Good morning, Tony. Oops, hang on. I didn't do the thing right. Here we go. Tony, go ahead.
All right. The president said yesterday about rolling back some of these tax credits and, you know, these special deals that the oil companies.
Yeah, oops, sorry, we lost him. Yeah, what about that, Congressman? I mean, it seems to me that that's an awfully good idea.
I didn't hear the idea.
He was talking about the president talking about rolling back the tax breaks for oil companies as a way to start the transition to clean energy.
There's not a lot of money involved there anymore. I've actually looked into this, and there's not a huge amount of money that's spent, or even a significant amount of money that's spent anymore. On direct subsidies of the oil companies through the tax system. There's no large tax expenditures for the oil companies anymore. That was wiped out a long time ago. If we want to get serious about transitioning to clean energy, then we're going to have to do it in some other way. I don't think that that's going to be effective. I'd like to see that happen, and I'd like to see that happen in a way that's actually going to work. I don't think that's going to be sufficient. I think, you know, the president is watching the news like all the rest of us, and he has this itch to do something the way that you often see in Washington. This itch is actually what led to war after war after war. You see something going on, and you have to do something, so therefore you attack. And if I'm going to do something like that, it's going to be something effective, something that's actually going to make a difference, not something that's just basically
right.
Lip service.
Yep.
Not that there's anything wrong with lip service. I want to be clear about that.
This is politics, after all. Bunny in
Winston. Okay.
Bunny in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Time to face the Grayson. Hi, Bunny.
Hi there. My question is, how come when some senator or congressman introduces a bill that is obviously the product of big pharma or big oil or big business or big insurance, doesn't somebody else stand up right after the bill is introduced and say, ladies and gentlemen, this commercial message has been brought to you by such and such who has donated so many millions to this senator such and such's campaign?
That's a good idea. We're actually not allowed to do that, believe it or not. There's actually an explicit rule in the House of Representatives that requires us not to attack other members. How convenient is that?
Wow.
So that's why you don't see that happening, but nothing prevents the media from doing that. And they tend to do it, though, in ways that are, like, petty. You know, they do it in ways that don't actually make the point. What happens is you introduce a bill, it's actually a sincere bill, it's meant to solve a certain problem, and somebody points out that you got a $32.27 contribution from some oil company executive you never heard of.
Yeah.
There is definitely a connection there. It's pervasive. It's all over Capitol Hill. We're not allowed to talk about it. We're literally not allowed to talk about it. But the fact is that there are effective ways of making that point, and there are ineffective ways of making that point.
Buddy in Columbus, time to face the Grayson. Good morning, Buddy.
Hey, without babbling like a crackhead on meth, but I've got a couple ideas for the congressman. Are these leases legitimate? I mean, if they were entered into fraudulently with the drugs and the sex and the bribery and all that other stuff, are these leases still legitimate? And the second question for you is, with the massive ecological destruction we're going to be looking at with this thing, what about some sort of rescue program like an ARC where we go and harvest the coral and the mangroves and all that and grow it on and then in the future, you know, bring it back to restore the environment? Because you're going to have a hell of a slug of oil coming through there.
I
definitely think that what you just said is attributable to LSD more likely than meth, but that's just my opinion. I'm not claiming to be an expert on that subject.
Right.
You know.
Right.
But to answer your question, the very simple solution to this problem is that we can level a $4,200 per barrel fine on the oil spill, which is now, you know, millions and millions of gallons of oil. Thousands and thousands of barrels of oil. And that could take care of all of that, take care of all the damage that's been done, not only to the coral, but also to fishing, to tourism. Just make them pay. It's that simple. Just make them pay.
Right, but I think he was asking, are the leases legitimate if, you know, there's this report that came out that shows that they were literally in debt with the oil company?
Yeah, I mean, they made representations to get the leases that were clearly false. That there's no question about that at this point. They claimed to there's no conceivable safety difficulty. That's why they didn't have to do an environmental impact report. But think about that. They didn't have to do an environmental impact analysis, something that's caused this kind of environmental devastation, because they claimed there's no way that this could possibly happen.
Yeah, yeah, no, exactly. Jerry in Los Angeles, time to face the Grayson. Good morning, Jerry.
Yeah, hi. I got a question about the economy for the congressman. When the Democrats took over Congress 4 years ago, the unemployment rate was in the middle fours. Today it's almost triple that. Why should the American people return the Democrats back to Congress again?
Are you serious?
Simple question. The facts are accurate.
Are you serious? The Republicans brought us to the brink of national bankruptcy.
Yeah.
They destroyed 20%. It's my turn now. They destroyed 20% of our national wealth in their last 18 months of office. They pushed the price of gasoline to $4 a gallon, and they embroiled us in two endless wars, and you're nattering about the Democrats? Get a life.
Progress of 4 years. The unemployment rate was in the middle four.
You know, you deserve the government that you want to have.
The unemployment rate.
And I think that you should get it.
Now it's triple that.
I think that what you should do is move to that libertarian place called Somalia, sir.
Yes.
And I'll check in with you a year from now and see how you're doing.
There you go.
He should have his own talk radio show. I should just give him this one.
You handled that caller like a champ.
He squashed him like a bug.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's the thing.
All from you. I owe it all to you.
I mean, how do you?
The thing I ever learned, I owe to Stephanie Miller.
How do you? Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Congressman, how do you? But how do you get? That's the problem. How do you go from George Bush, who's losing 700,000 jobs a month, to where we are now, which is clearly much better, though not good, and say, wasn't it better then? Well, no, no, it wasn't.
All these people ultimately want a fascist dictatorship, and I would invite them to move to one. You know, if they think America is just too democratic, then go somewhere else.
Yep.
I'm still waiting for Rush Limbaugh to make his move.
I fear for myself because I love you more every week. And it's,
Stephanie.
You know, what with the finding out about the Mrs. Grayson and the five kids, it's just, you know. All right. Congressman Alan Grayson, another spectacular edition of Face the Grayson. See you next week, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, Stephanie.
All right. There he goes.
Wow.
Huh. We are awaiting Rush Limbaugh's move.
Yes, we are.
What happened
still.
To that? All right, maybe not enough off-market Viagra and wherever it is he was looking into. 46 minutes.
It was Costa Rica. He was thinking about moving to Costa Rica. That's
yes.
Right. Uh-huh.
Thy. Mm-hmm. Two words. On behalf of all of us, the and thy. 46 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
You people make me sick.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I love that. Chris says the live blog is going ape dump for Alan Grayson.
That's right.
He squashed that right-wing caller like a bug. It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 51 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number.
You don't hear Bernie Sanders getting like that on the Tom Hartman Show.
It's a little bit WWF when Alan Grayson's on. Stephanie in Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, sister.
Hey, guys. Awesome segment again. But
thanks.
Man, I remember
when my dad would say, are you kidding me? I always knew something was coming. And so now we know Alan Grayson has snap. It was so awesome.
Go on, keep calling, right wingers, but you better bring it when Alan Grayson's in the house.
Yeah, that was darling. Oh, yay. Hooray, hooray.
Yay. All right, honey. Let's go to Corey in Michigan. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Corey.
Well, thank you. I was just inspired to call. How he handled that last caller, that was masterful. I would want to move to his district if I didn't hate the heat as much as I do. Kudos on him.
Yeah.
That it's was fantastic.
Listen, I'm dealing with the humidity here in New York, and that would be the only reason not to move to Alan Grayson's district is the humidity. Otherwise, it's nothing but good.
Yeah. Orlando can be a bit humid this time of year.
Mike, I remember the one appearance I did in Miami. I literally, like, you know, had the whole hair blowout and then got to the appearance. It was like, Link from Mod Squad. Michael, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, I kind of want to help you out with this right-wing tool, Mark. Is that what his name was?
Yes.
What an idiot. Rachel Maddow had a perfect example of, and it was that 79 spill. He's saying to drill closer in, but that 79 spill was in 200 feet of water, and it went on for 9 months because they tried the same stuff. But I will say he's right about one thing. See, had we listened to Jimmy Carter, we'd have 25% of our energy from renewable sources right now. But
right. Well, and Michael, the other thing is they would always be drilling there because that's where the oil is. They can't drill in closer.
They do have taps that are closer in. They have been allowed to go closer in.
Right.
But he's sort of right about one thing in that part of the fault is not from the Bush administration. It's from the Reagan administration because he's the one that overturned Carter's rule. So it's his god, Reagan, that screwed up.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Thank you, honey. Let's go to Alan in Albany. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Alan.
Oh, hi. Thanks for taking the call. I love Grace, and he's awesome. What I wanted to say is kind of radical. You know, I'm a left-winger myself, but don't we collectively look in the mirror and say, you know, we too are to blame. We've got a society that demands the raping of our natural resources. I'm driving right now, and, you know, when's that going to change? So, you know, yeah, it's BP's fault. There's a lot of greedy people out there who drill and drill, baby, drill and all that. But, you know, as a society, we are, too, also to blame. And one thing, too, is Grayson mentioned that methane bubble that was coming up. There was a University of Texas Huntsville study, and it's available. I think Newsweek had published it. But they had done some meteorological studies. They thought that Baba Booey had farted on Howard Stern's lap at the same time when that bubble rose up. I don't know if
Was that a Baba Booey call? I can't really tell.
I can't tell either.
All right. I don't know. Oh, you got me. Okay. All right. Oh, I forgot to tell you what James Cameron has to do with the oil spill.
Yes.
The superficial reporting, despite Rush Limbaugh announcing the oil spill is perfectly natural as getting a boner with Mexican Viagra, the U.S. government has apparently brought in Avatar director James Cameron because he directed a movie about a giant boat once. Which that's not.
Computer says no.
You know why? He's an ocean technology buff, Chris, and he's been an expert in underwater filming and manned submersible vehicles since his pioneering work on The Abyss in the 1980s, remember?
Yeah.
The Ed Harris movie.
Yeah. He has technology that the government doesn't, so why not call him in?
Hello? Mr. Avatar, that'll do it now.
Bill O'Reilly was making fun of that yesterday. Hey, why don't you send Leonardo DiCaprio down there to plug up the... They don't see the seriousness of the situation over there on Fox News.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's go to David in Quebec. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, David.
Yeah, hi, Stephanie. My question is really how long does Obama have a free pass to not do things properly before you stop blaming Bush for the situation? I mean, does he have basically...
President Obama hasn't blamed Bush for the situation.
That's right.
There is a report that has come out that has talked about all of this mismanagement, the MMS. It was all before Obama got into office. Granted, we need to fix it now, but I don't believe he's ever brought up George Bush's name in this.
I didn't say him. I said I'm listening to your radio show. I listen to also to Fox Across America.
Sure.
It's a year and a half into his presidency, and like Gracie this morning, you're still blaming Bush for the state of affairs. Does Obama basically have a free 4-year pass to screw up as a president and never take
responsibility? How is he screwing up? How is the oil spill his fault?
Obama's fixing it.
Let's be clear. The oil spill is not his fault, but the inaction of the government, despite what they say they're doing, is his fault.
But so, there has not been inaction. That's the problem. And you have to, you do have to go back and go, these regulations at MMS, they went into place, as our last caller actually said, under Reagan, and you're denying that Bush and Cheney were oil guys? That the last thing they wanted to do was regulate and the oil industry?
I forget. It was one of Bush's generals who said, I don't care how we got into the situation. We just have to deal with it now. So skip the MMS.
So we shouldn't look at any of the regulations that went into place under Bush and Cheney. That had nothing to do with any of this.
It's irrelevant. There's a problem. And there's a leak today. So blame
right.
Bush.
And the president is addressing it.
And he was on it from day one. If you'd stop listening to Fox Across America, you would understand that.
I'm listening to James Carville, who I guess doesn't listen to Fox Across America either. So
James Carville has been sleeping with Mary Madeline for entirely too long.
It's rubbing
I'm
off
just
on him.
Saying. Just saying, for God's sakes, he's gotten a little unglued, is all I'm saying.
Well, he's also a Hillary supporter.
All right.
So there's that.
There's that. All right. So much to get to. Representative Maxine Waters, Democrat of the great state of California, whom we love, is coming up in just a few moments as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
What?
I saw you doing the Hal Sparks Rock'em Sock'em Robot Dance. You can see that too on HalSparks.com on their video streaming there, you know?
It's true.
Yeah. And what it's halsparks.com/ustream.
Yes.
I'm here in the New York Bureau. I'm not on camera. I want to be left alone.
Oh,
retain my aura of mystery.
After the end of this month, you'll be on camera
Every
Wednesday.
6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com is the website. Check it out. That's the regular old-fashioned horse-drawn kind. You can email us all there.
That's right.
Executive producer Chris LeBoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Oh, Jim is going to be sad he's not in the New York Bureau tomorrow.
Uh-oh,
because,
why?
Because super hot country singer Shelley Wright will be live in studio.
Oh, she's in New York?
Yep.
Yes, yeah. And every man I know will be here slathering on the window.
For the hour.
So,
she was lovely. I got to dance with her and her girl.
Yeah, I know. I that's what I said. Jim Ward would have stabbed you to death to be in your position just then. I was thinking that.
Yeah, we're all Facebook friends now. It's good.
Fabulous. All right. And then also Face the Grayson tomorrow with Alan Grayson, the
wildly
popular new feature, and Maxine Waters, Representative Maxine Waters, whom we love.
Absolutely.
All right. That's my, because I'm such a cable geek, that's my favorite thing you ever say when you call me up. You call me up and say?
Turn on CNN right now. Maxine Waters is yelling at somebody.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, oh, yay, I'm going to make popcorn. All right. Meanwhile, it's time for Carl Frisch, everybody. Carl Frisch, exciting. For Media Matters for America. So inviting to me. Good morning, Carl.
Good morning.
How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. I'm so upset that I missed Joan Rivers.
I'm sorry.
No one misses Joan Rivers. She's ubiquitous.
You know what, though? If you go to StephanieMiller.com, within an hour after this show, you'll be able to hear the interview.
Yeah.
There you go.
I just wanted her to ask me what I was wearing.
What are you wearing, Carl Frisch?
Just a shirt and a t-shirt and shorts.
That's hot. That is hot. Okay, Missy, back to you! All right. Carl Frisch, let's dive into the right-wing world, see what's doing, shall we, kids? Looky here. It's the drug-addled gas bag, Rush Limbaugh. Wow, this sounds like a totally odious thing to say.
It is. 9/11 happened. Remember the Democrats running around? Just a shame this didn't happen. Bill Clinton was president. He had a real quite crisis that he defined himself by. They were a little jealous it happened with Bush.
What? So he's saying the worst security failure in our history, the worst terrorist attack ever, is a good thing that happened on your watch? Is that what he's saying?
It's hard to tell. I mean, I think it was either yesterday or the day before that he said this was Obama's Bay of Pigs. I think he's just flipping through like an AP history book from 10th grade and picking events out of the book and saying that this is Obama's X. This is Obama's Treaty of Versailles.
Right.
I don't think he has the foggiest idea what he's talking about.
Right. But this idea that we're jealous that 9/11 didn't happen during Clinton is...
Yeah, I thought it was Clinton's fault, according to the right wing.
Yeah,
9/11.
Well, according to them, it is. I mean, they even tried to make a movie that claimed that.
Dick Morris's movie.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right. Perhaps he has been talking to Dick Morris too much. I don't think you hear many people saying that they wish 9/11 happened, period.
Right.
Let alone on somebody else's watch.
Yeah. Exactly.
Especially your own. Like, why would you ever want it to happen for your side? That's okay.
Right.
By the way, didn't I hear Rush Limbaugh got married for, is it the fourth time yesterday or something?
Something like that.
Fourth time's the charm.
So the fact that he would talk about anybody, particularly someone that's been married 40 years. Okay, there we go.
Regarding the Al Gore divorce, who gets the internet? Well, it's a legitimate question. And who will get... They inspired a love story, right? Eric Siegel, Al Gore, told us that. So will there be a sequel to Love Story? Goral cooling happening out there.
how many old Al Gore jokes that are based on fabrications can you fit into one sentence?
I think
Rush Limbaugh, Newt Gingrich, Rudy Giuliani should be, and the right wing is going to hop on me for saying that they shouldn't be allowed to talk about something. But seriously, they shouldn't be allowed to talk about marriage. It's not their strong suit. I'll let them talk about tax cuts if they want to. I don't think that they tell the truth about it, but if there's one thing we know, one, two, three, four times, I think he needs to shut his trap.
Exactly.
I would say participate in it would also be something it wouldn't be. They shouldn't be allowed to do.
Yeah.
Well, until
exactly.
I can get married everywhere, perhaps he shouldn't be able to get married for the fifth time.
Yeah.
Chris, can we book that interview? I'd like to chat with a gal that signed up for that. Just saying.
I'll get
a couple
right on
questions.
That, Ms. Miller.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. All right, Glenn
I'm
Beck
sure
on
he
the.
He loves his wife.
Glenn Beck on the Fox and Friends.
Why should I be your safety net? More importantly, it's not me that's a safety net. Mm-hmm. Not you, not any of us. Our children and our grandchildren. It is morally reprehensible to enslave them so we can go gamble, take a risk.
You should be in a butterfly net. I know that.
I'll be the first to admit, I don't want Glenn Beck to be my safety net.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, as we all know, the president has many times encouraged people to go to Vegas. That's why he said he passed health care so we could have extra money.
I don't think anybody should rely on Glenn Beck for any kind of safety.
No.
particularly mental safety.
All right. Mary Madeline on the Situation Room about the oil spill.
This is an opportunity to really show some competence, to step up, to take charge. It's inexplicable to me that we're even having this conversation.
We were saying earlier, Carl, I think it just strikes me how truly galling it is that the Republican Bush-Cheney people that put these regulations, into place that were big oil, that were oil guys, the drill baby drill crowd have the audacity, to criticize Obama. Can you imagine if they were in charge?
Well, yeah, I mean, I hesitate to call this the Bush-Cheney-Katrina because, they had Katrina, so maybe Katrina 2 for them. But, I'll take, Joe Scarborough's lead when he said that people who were involved in Katrina should shut their traps.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. Yeah, exactly.
They have no business talking about this at all.
Yep. Charles Krauthammer on the of Criminal Inquiry. Eric Holder and the Criminal Inquiry.
I think even what the Attorney General did today is somewhat over the line. Look, when an Attorney General announces the beginning of a criminal inquiry, you'd expect he would announce or at least give some of the evidence that would lead him to think a crime had been committed or there was some intentionality.
But sure.
I might have missed it, but I didn't hear a syllable about what evidence he has of criminal activity here.
Yeah,
turn on the television!
He has turned on the television. He's been watching Fox.
Well, and let's presume that, let's say Holder laid out the entire case against BP. What would Krafheimer be saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He'd be saying, oh, he's tainting the jury pool. It's unconscionable for a prosecutor to put the evidence on the table before it's been presented to a jury. So, you know, again, this is another example of the no-win situation of the Obama administration. And let's be clear on something. The right wing does not want the cap raised on BP, so they have to pay more money for this cleanup.
Right.
And they don't want BP prosecuted. They're in the pocket of big oil, even if that pocket is full of ooze coming out of the bottom of the ocean.
Yeah. I love the fact that it's Eric Holder that apparently has done something egregious here, not BP.
Well, I think he wants him to blow the case. He wants it to screw it up before it even happens.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Michael Savage, and oh boy, how did we know that he probably had a daddy problem?
Mm. I would fall asleep on his lap. He would smoke the Philip Morris unfiltered, maybe a two-packer. I'd get the secondhand smoke as a youngster.
Well,
it didn't affect me. All that nonsense about secondhand smoke. Only the shyster lawyers invented that it hurts you. What, are you crazy?
No, but you are.
Maybe that didn't affect you. Well...
I haven't had constricted blood vessels in my brain most of my life.
Smoke affected me at all.
I got hit in the head with a baseball bat. Didn't affect me at all.
Yeah, everything turned out great.
As a matter of fact, Daddy used to lock me in a closet and blow the smoke through the keyhole, and I wasn't affected at all. I'm a rational.
I turned out perfectly normal. All right, Carl Frisch from Media Matters for America. See you next week, sir.
Have a good one.
You too, honey. There he goes. He's fresh.
Yes. Exciting.
And exciting. Right? Okay.
Exciting and fresh.
Yeah, good morning, Jim Ward.
Good morning. I just had a massive struggle with headphones that were not here and the sole remaining chair in the studio, which this makes me feel like I'm at a five-year-old girl's tea party.
Right.
Here, virtually.
Jim,
I was trying to slide
on the floor.
At least you don't have 46,000-pound garden tool shears that have gotten stuck in a pipe a mile underwater, as apparently has happened.
Yeah, as far as you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, you know, I was on Joan Rivers' first talk show thing briefly.
Yes.
A friend of mine, Antoinette Spillar, we were tour guides at the time. She did a Joan Rivers impression. She had me come along and do Jack Nicholson opposite of Joan Rivers. So that was
that on her Fox late night show?
I think it was.
Holy
wow. I'm sorry you weren't here for the Joan Rivers interview to recount that story for her.
Oh, my God, I remember you. You're such a jerk.
The one moment in my career that's been burning a hole in my soul. Really? That was it? Yeah, you.
All right, back to Tech Talk. Okay, so Jim, they have 46,000-pound shears that look like a giant garden tool. Apparently, that's what's happening, and then they're going to cut the thing and put the condom thing over it.
I think they need the ShamWow.
This is what I said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
BP's latest attempt involves cutting the broken riser pipe, making it spew as much as 20% more oil into the water for days, while engineers try to position a cap over the opening. An associate director at the Tulane Energy Institute said the strategy had about a 50 to 70% chance to succeed. Hmm. Isn't that what they said last time?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He likened it to trying to place a tiny cap on a fire hydrant. That sounds
that should work.
That sounds not very easy to me, a tiny cap. I don't know if that cap as in a hat, like as in a, with the top hat, or is this an entirely different thing? Yeah. No, that was the other oil spill. That was entirely different.
That's right.
All right. So 18 minutes after the hour, back with all the latest on the oil spill as we continue Hump Days with Hal on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Indeed.
A whole new level of disturbing.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Hi, Hal Sparks is like, not so much. I've lived with her. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 23 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. All right. So a BP spokesman said the company was awaiting analysis of water samples taken in the Gulf before making a final determination on whether huge plumes of oil are suspended underwater.
We can see them with underwater cameras.
Right. No, we can't. We've been keeping the press and the scientists out.
Cousteau's son.
Right.
CEO Tony Hayward said there was no evidence of the plumes, even though several scientists have already made the claims. Mm-hmm. But he said it in that British accent, Jim, which, you know.
There was no evidence of any spill at all. It's, in fact, been a lark on our part, a joke.
I'm so glad this...
Maybe it's some of that bad potato salad that gave the food poisoning to the fishermen.
And how.
Yeah.
It's a giant potato salad spill.
That's what that is. Actually. That's not... It's just some deviled eggs floating under the surface.
Well, that just makes it adorable, then.
Right. On a small tray.
I feel like we have Hugh Grant and Colin Firth in the studio in LA.
A load of crumpets was
that
released.
Is just a large scone floating beneath the surface.
Yes, a 7-mile wide scone.
Yes.
You know that big guy that's on TV? He's the president of Plaquemines Parish?
Yeah.
Billy, what are you, nuns? I love him.
Yeah, he's great.
Yeah, he said of Tony Hayward, we ought to take him offshore and dunk him 10 feet underwater and pull him up and ask him, what's that all over your face?
Yeah.
And Charles Krauthanger.
I got your scientific test right here.
And Tony Hayward's the one that was whining yesterday that he wanted
my life back.
I want my life back.
My God, I'd just be left alone. Yeah. What have I done?
Why are we picking on them?
It's oil. It's natural.
You know, and I was telling Chris.
Of nature.
Yeah, arsenic is natural, too.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. So is lava. You know, when on the playground. Or, you know. I was telling Chris during the break that one of the reasons why the guy from the BP or COO thinks that this is not a big deal is because Shell dumps this amount of oil into the Nigerian Delta every year and has for the last 10 years. But since it's Africa, nobody can do anything about it. They have such a stranglehold. Now this has happened near an annoying country like America. We, you know, literally people in Nigeria were going, it's amazing that your president is on TV every couple of days saying he's, you know, they're working on doing stuff because there's all nothing there. Right. Nothing.
Snowy in Georgia, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, gang. How y'all doing?
Good. Go ahead.
Hey, this is off topic a little bit because Joan Rivers mentioned something that's kind of a sore spot with me about this whole why wasn't President Obama at Arlington. And I don't think they asked any of these tools to keep right-wing tools to keep making that statement. Ask them, are the dead in the other national cemetery in Illinois any less honorable than the ones in Arlington?
Well, I think they decided that he was going to do that and Biden was going to do the Arlington one.
Well, Arlington was created because the other national cemeteries were getting filled up during the Civil War.
Yeah.
And all the national cemeteries, all the veteran dead there are just as honorable as any other veteran.
Exactly.
And that's going to be a sore spot with me. It's a stupid argument.
Yeah, well, I mean, it just, you know, sometimes, Chris, I mean, we keep saying, like, it's a PR problem. You know, like, maybe just on a PR level, he's getting some bad advice in some places. But you kind of feel like they criticize everything he does, so it doesn't matter, you know?
Well, I know. Just from an appearance point of view, I think it might have been better had he been at Arlington and laid a wreath at the Tomb of the Unknowns, which represents all soldiers who have died, but... You know, whatever.
But again, I do think that makes an excellent point. And every other president has gone, you know, on a particular Memorial Day, has gone to
elsewhere,
other veteran cemeteries, laid wreaths there, sent the vice president to Arlington. It wasn't like he slacked off and Biden stayed home. And this and unfortunately, the way Joan worded it, like hanging out with his friends in Chicago, that's not.
Exactly what he was doing.
He did that as well.
Well, it was Memorial Day weekend, but on the day he did the service in the rain, and they had to call it off because of lightning and rain.
Right.
Sue in Minneapolis, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Sue.
Hi, Steph. You are my sanity while I drive on the highways.
Oh, dear. That is not good news for your sanity.
Well,
or the other people on the highway.
If you drive in the Minneapolis area, there's not much sanity happening.
Go ahead.
I'm wondering, with all their efforts, are they trying to cap the oil or are they trying to save their well? Because it seems to me if you take saving the well out of the equation, then why don't we just bomb it, collapse it, and be done with it?
Right. That's definitely a big part of the problem is if you collapse that plate and it starts leaking around the edges, essentially, it could be worse.
The thing is, I don't, from what I understand, Sue, they're not trying to save the well. But at this point, I think that's the problem is everybody's saying, like, you know, it sounds simple, like, oh, just blow it up. And then, you know, but clearly some scientists are saying that could make it worse, as Hal just said. So
it could create a bigger hole from which the oil could spew.
Right. Yeah, because I know the oil bed itself, though, is still another 2 miles under the seabed, right?
Yes, this is true.
So it seems like there's an awful lot of seabed we could be piling on top of and into this hole.
I agree. I would have no doubt that they are planning, you know, they're working on contingencies that work out on 2 week basis. And that, I mean, everybody, each step along the way, trying the least damaging part, that would be a last case scenario, I would think. You know,
they're running out of, you know, after they kill all the fish, I guess it won't really matter.
Right. Again, why are they not pumping the enzymes, the bacteria that eat oil into that area? I don't know. Yeah. Texas has done it several times. They've actually gathered these enzymes from all over the world. There are companies that produce them. It's a really uncomplicated process.
The sole extent of our expertise it consists of that I worked at a frozen yogurt shop for 1 month and or one night, excuse me. And Chris, you worked making Slurpees.
Yeah, I did.
So that's all we know about what's happening with the containment dome. And we're happy to impart all that information to you. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
By the way,
Stephanie Miller.
Another accepted usage for the term ho.
I just had a brimful of Asha, come to think of it.
Really? Listen on the 45?
All right, I've got the Schneider update on what's happening. The Thad is the only guy that knows what's happening.
Admiral Thad Allen, yes.
Yes. Yes. The first cut with the giant shears was successful overnight. The saw has become stuck and it is cutting through the pipe now. That's what the deal is with the whatever.
Well, it is nearly freezing temperatures down there.
Yeah.
It's like that's the problem. The dome thing, the question I had was, why don't you build the dome down there as opposed to try to deliver the whole thing?
Because people can't go down that deep.
But robots can. I guess you'd have to.
Those would be pretty specialized robots.
Yes, they would.
Yeah.
Not Rocket Sock'em robots.
No. No.
They would look like you dancing.
I beg your pardon. Have we gotten into your dancing yet?
Yeah.
Covered your dancing? Reverse cowgirl?
Jim will understand that. He was saying that he had to keep his arms in close, Jim, because my arms were splayed out. He was trying to avoid being smacked.
This is the dance move. I'm doing it at halsparks.com/Ustream right now.
Yes.
Yeah. Since Jim has seen me run on a treadmill, he understands that. He understands the point.
He's seen it. He recognizes it.
Well, it explains her hook shot ability in basketball because she clearly has a leg length disparity, which is on the treadmill. It's like clap, boom, clap, boom, clap, boom, clap, boom.
Melissa in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey.
Hey, Melissa.
I was wondering, like, how come nobody's been asking exactly how much oil is in this reserve?
I think they know, approximately.
Well, I know they know, but, I mean, how much oil is just going to continue to pour out into the ocean?
It could go on for years.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, no, exactly. Like, what happens? Is it the square root of pi? Will it, you know, flow until...
It's a very large oil field that is underneath the Gulf of Mexico.
It's about the size of the Gulf itself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why there are 3,400 other things tapping it.
And and so I think it's safe to assume that it will keep on gushing until we stop it.
Yeah. If you drill the slant wells, you can alleviate the pressure coming out of it and slowly cap the center one.
That's... Did you hear? I mean, well, obviously, the relief well appears to be, you know, it will be the answer, I guess. I mean, but you know, even that, did you hear that? They're saying they're going to have to, that can take a week. Like, they have to make several attempts, You know, to you know, it's like a drunk guy having sex. They have to, you know, they probably won't hit the hole, and they got to keep trying like three or four. They say normally they get it on the third or fourth try.
Stephanie Louise Miller.
What?
Sounds like you have. Sounds like you've had experience with this.
Have you ever had sex with a guy who wasn't drunk?
Yeah. Let's ask that question.
Wow.
Who's gonna have sex with me sober? I think that's the other question. All right. The president yesterday on the criminal investigation.
We have an obligation to investigate what went wrong and to determine what reforms are needed so that we never have to experience a crisis like this again.
Yeah.
I would think not drilling would be the one way to make sure we never have this crisis again. But, yeah, I can't believe people are, like, they're already going, oh, well, of course, we'll keep drilling. We'll just wait till the, you know, the people are so, people are just emotional now. It's like, well,
hysterical.
Yeah, they better be emotional now.
Of course we're going to keep dropping atom bombs on cities. You're a little emotional after.
Right, sure. I mean, yes, not right after Nagasaki.
Americans, I mean, they really are coming from the point of view of, like, Americans only freak out about oil, you know, pollution they can see.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as we can't see it anymore, they're counting on the fact that we won't care anymore.
Hence the dispersants.
Right.
Yeah. It's all right. There'll be a new reality show on or some new shiny object that we'll be like, oh, all right, whatever.
Right.
Okay, Robert... Robert Gibbs yesterday.
He has been in a whole bunch of different meetings, clenched jaw. Even in the midst of these briefings, saying everything has to be done.
I mean, seriously, do you want your president to be Bobcat Goldthwait? I saw that exchange, didn't you, Hal? It's like the reporter's like, why is it, I don't understand. Why does he matter?
Ladies
why is he more emotional?
Thank you very much. I'd like to speak for a moment on the pee-pee oil spill. Now,
would you really feel better if your president is friggin' unglued?
Wow. We just found out today that Hal Sparks does impressions.
Yeah,
best Goldthwait I've ever heard.
Thanks.
Thank you very much. I would like to say that, look, just because you can't see the oil doesn't mean it's not there. But I'm going to take the pee-pee oil, CRO's head and shove it into a well. Look, if we can't plug it with sand and dirt, plug it with those guys.
If we don't see that at the next press conference, or Sam Kinison, that's
right.
What I want.
Well, Sam Kinison would have to dial in from beyond. Yeah, right.
I'm talking about that style. Apparently some people want that style from the president.
Gotcha.
They want yelling.
Okay.
They want arm flailing like my dancing. They want emotion. All right. Let's go to George in Rockford. Hi, George.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Good.
I have a question. At what point this year do you think BP is going to file bankruptcy and say, you know what, we've hoarded all our money away. We don't have any left now to pay for this.
Yeah, I mean, I think Rachel Maddow did it last night, didn't she, George, about the, I mean, if you got the maximum even penalty per barrel of oil leaked, which they certainly should because clearly there is, you know.
They still have billions of dollars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But just that, Jim, is billions of dollars. That's not before you even get into the lawsuits and the cleanup and all of that. I mean,
expect a name change at the very least.
Yes.
They're going to do a Blackwater to She switchover sometime soon. They've been greenwashing themselves for the last 5 years,
yes.
Anyways.
Oh,
that ridiculous sunflower.
It's green. There's sunflowers.
We don't want to do just oil. We just have to. But in the meantime, we're going to.
But how? There's windmills in their ads. There's windmills.
Right.
Things.
Yeah.
And butterflies.
Here's the only way to guarantee something like this doesn't happen anymore is to get off oil entirely because it's a messy, broken system.
My sparkle pony butterfly company.
It's a 19th century technology.
It is, exactly. And
that's what Tony Hayward is going to do. Jimmy's going to call it the Sparkle Pony Company.
Every time you hear somebody flinch at the mention of an electric car, remind them of this because everybody goes, well, you know, they only go so far. I'm like, dude, we got to dial back our expectations because you're going to pay for it somehow. You're either going to pay for it.
I think we should, if they have any money left, somebody just takes Tony Hayward and holds him upside down until the last bit of change comes out of his pockets. I don't think they should exist after this, in my opinion.
That's what I said. They should shoot out of existence.
The United States should at least revoke all of its drilling
leases,
permits.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And how much security do you think these guys have right now?
Yeah.
Those guys.
Except they can get we could give them a license to get drilled in prison.
I don't know what that's a prison rape joke, Stephanie.
Oh, is that what
No,
that is?
It was not, Chris.
He's talking about dental care in prison. That's what she meant.
I am punching you on Skype. Shut up.
Shut up.
Okay.
But, in other news, they flew an F-18 on biofuel the other
right.
day.
Right.
And, you know, they can do that? Okay. Well, let's start.
Yeah. Attorney General.
Americans eat enough fried food. We could power every vehicle right. in this country just back and forth to McDonald's.
All right. Attorney General Eric Holder.
We have begun both a criminal as well as a civil investigation, as is our obligation under the law. Our environmental laws are very clear, and we have a responsibility to enforce them, and we will do so. At the same time, we are mindful of the government's first priority, and that priority is to stop the spill and to clean up the oil.
Hmm. Meanwhile, BP evidence. Mostly concerned with cleaning up their image, they have hired Dick Cheney's former press secretary.
Right. Yeah.
That's because
Ann Womack Colton, pardon me?
That's because she was involved at the time they were having those energy meetings.
Yeah.
And she knows exactly where all the bodies are buried because she was helping them create the, you know, their kind of line of reasoning back then. So.
And weirdly, get every drama string ready that we have. A Cheney's energy group at that point that she was defending, as you're right, his secret energy task force, they met with several BP representatives.
What a shock. Yeah. And what was the outcome of that? The loosening of regulations,
yep.
the complete...
And Enron.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, people need to watch The Smartest Guys in the Room,
right.
the Enron documentary, and they need to watch On Deadly Ground, which is one of my favorite Steven Seagal movies. But and you're going to laugh at this, but he plays one of those guys who blows oil preventers. He's a demo expert who blows preventers, faulty preventers, when they explode, or when they've got a gushing oil tanker, they create fire to push it back down, and he finds out that Aegis Oil, which, by the way, the leader, the head of Aegis Oil is played by Michael Caine, so clearly there's a BP reference
yeah.
in there. And the whole idea is that they're putting faulty machinery on so they can get all the good equipment to this new well so they can guarantee that they'll maintain these oil rights so the natives don't get them.
Right.
And it's right in line.
Faulty preventers?
I think it's time
yes.
for a sequel.
Yeah, exactly. But it's watch it and you yeah. there's
if you can get Steven Seagal out of the recliner.
Enablers, I've done that. Okay, never
he's
mind.
He's actually a cop right now down in Florida
on something. A reality show.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, one more time, Eric Holder yesterday.
We will prosecute to the fullest extent of the law anyone who has violated the law. Our environmental laws are very clear, and we have a responsibility to enforce them, and we will do so.
That should be a short trial, just so one picture. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah.
Okay. That's
yeah. Guilty.
Bye bye.
Well, Charles.
Mike
yeah.
in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, everyone. You know, getting back to your point, you were talking about the fines and everything. Mm-hmm. Yesterday on Rachel's show, it was $1,200 a barrel
right.
under the Clean in Air Water or Clean Water and Air Act. If it was gross negligence, they can fine them $4,300 a barrel.
Right.
And they estimate up to 25,000 barrels a day have been spilled. So it would be about $10.7 billion.
Right. Right.
And that's not even including, like you said, the cleanup and everything.
And the lawsuits, that's just government fines. Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. And what I'm worried about, though, is like the whole Blackwater G thing is because BP used to be Amoco.
Right.
And
that's right.
So what if they start playing that game, the shell game under the name
shell,
and everything
shell
like that?
Game. Get it? Shell.
an actual shell game.
Hey.
Maybe they will
well, and also
oil.
That's standard operating procedure.
Right. Largan.
And at what point are they going to, they're going to try to pass this on to Halliburton and to Transocean?
Well, they need to share responsibility.
I agree. I think they all should have to pay repeating fines. Mm-hmm. They should all be fined the same amount of money.
Yep.
Yep. All right. 45 minutes after the hour, yet another BP cover-up. We'll tell you what it is next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
See? We're having a nice time.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
You're going to Get what?
Get it popping.
Get it popping. Get it popping. Come on, baby. Get up. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it.
Word.
50 minutes.
Whatever it is, you will get it popping.
Whatever it is.
Exactly. You know, kids, it's Hump Days with Hal Sparks, and it's Hal Sparks has it's a very exciting week. Not only is he here with me right now. Friday, what happens for Hal on Friday?
Well, my stand-up special, my first hour-long stand-up special, airs on Showtime.
Cool. That's awesome.
This Friday night at 10 o'clock.
It's called Charmageddon.
It's called Charmageddon. Yeah. It is. There's a clip of it up on Funny or Die today.
Very cool.
And of course, on my Facebook page and all those kind of things. But you can, I'm proud of it. It's good.
It is. You need special glasses like during an eclipse because not only is he hilarious, but he's cute and he's so charming and your head will explode.
What do you talk about? What are some of the things you talk about in the special?
Well, I mean, I kind of...
Cats and dogs, they're different.
How did they...
Airplane food.
Why can't people get that?
New York and L.A. I don't get it.
For lack of a better way of describing it, a lot of presumptions. I kind of deal with a lot of, language and cultural presumptions that we kind of skate on. Mm-hmm. You know how there are guys who come out and go, men and women are different, and that's the whole thing? I have an entire bit about how we aren't. And that's how kind of I approach comedy.
Right.
I'd much rather base mine on reality. So I'm...
looking forward to it.
Yeah, I don't want
to... He's hilarious. We just performed together here at the Sexy Liberal Show in New York, and he's hilarious. So please tune in, won't you?
Friday night, 10 o'clock. Set your TiVo DVRs. And
and subscribe to Showtime, for God's sake.
Yes. Or you can buy the DVD later this month.
Your stuff, how... A lot of demand for me. It's not often I get this email. Mitch in Portland says, Steph, is there any way I can watch your version of I've Got a Secret?
Yes.
See, my TV shows, Chris, they just disappear into
thanks to YouTube. There are clips of it still.
Oh, yeah.
Are there?
Oh,
he wants
to
know if he can get it on DVD.
No.
He said, I love to watch the show in school after school on Fridays. It was like starting the weekend with cool friends in their apartment. You know who was on that show very often? Hal Sparks was on I've Got
Really?
It.
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Until the producers told us to cool it once because there were kids watching during the day.
Yeah, you had your hand on my leg almost the entire show.
the clips of that are available at YouTube. I've seen them.
Yes. Are they?
Mm-hmm.
It was a delightful little show. Mm-hmm.
Terry Garr was on it quite frequently.
It's a little
game.
Yes, and Jim J. Bullock was on my panel. Amy Yazbek. It was hilarious.
Yeah, Amy's terrific. She was great. And meeting, Terry was...
Yeah,
I mean, she's comedically perfect.
Yeah,
she's,
I mean, she and Jim J. Bullock together were hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
It's just all right.
And Stephanie, there are also clips of the ill-fated late night Stephanie Miller show.
Oh, really?
Yeah. On YouTube, yeah.
Oh.
I have the power to order things off the internet, and apparently I don't.
No, you don't.
I did order George to change the picture on Wikipedia the other day.
You can
because
do that?
Because I was like, what is that awful... Because people take a picture at you with some event, at a certain angle, and you're like, oh, my God.
Well, people have to
get rid of that.
People have to use, snapshots on Wikipedia because there aren't rights associated with it.
Right.
Oh.
Yeah, that's why.
Mm. All right, Jeff in Salem writes, Steph, I think we ought to rename BP to PB for Pinky in the Brain, as they seem to come up with one cockamamie scheme after another.
What do we do tonight, Brian?
Same thing we do every night, Pinky. Try and take over the world.
Take over the world. The Brain lives across the street from my mom, by the way.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Yeah. Nice fun fact.
Yeah, Maurice actually did my cartoon on Nickelodeon, Tack and the Power of Juju. He was on that with me.
Uh-huh. Chris in Yankton with a BP hat sombrero reference as well. Steph, who sits around a big oil company's coming up with cockamamie names for their make-it-up-as-you-go-along ideas for fixing disasters? Top hat? Sombrero?
I think it should be Bola.
What, did they get that from the guy in Airplane? Here's what I'm going to drop on the gushing well. Well, I could make a hat or a brooch or a pterodactyl.
Right.
And Leon is getting larger.
Right.
Okay.
Everybody,
Chris in San Antonio, go ahead.
Hey, I got something that kind of points, it's more speculation than anything, but the whole drilling thing was supposed to be exploratory, correct? So why were they producing? And why did they have all the risers down there and whatnot if it was just exploratory? And now it seems like they're trying their best to save the production, and we see how much oil is actually coming out from this thing. So were they just trying to put that under the...
Boy, that's once again above my pay grade. Any all y'alls know the answer to that? It was supposed to be...
insofar as getting leases for the Gulf and that kind of stuff, they do play fast and loose with the rules a lot of times. That's been one of the big issues with minerals and management, and you know, is that they're not supposed to get their lease online for a certain amount of time, or they're supposed to have certain things set in place before they can do it. And a lot of times they'll skate around it and then go, well, the oil's already flowing, we can't really do much. It was an exploration, so
yeah, right.
You know, that is one of the issues with how these leases were handed out for years. So, yeah, it's all awful. Like, how they've been handled there's no upside at all.
And how they let them drill without having a relief well at the same time.
Every other country needs
right.
them.
Right, like Canada and everybody. Yeah, exactly. So, last week, the LA Times reported that local fishermen hired by BP to clean up the Gulf had become ill after working long hours near waters fouled with oil and dispersant. Especially galling the fact that one of the fishermen said the company hadn't provided them with protective equipment like gloves. One of the fishermen who became sick with nosebleeds and upset stomach and aches is filing a restraining order against BP, citing treatment he faced from the company as he went to the hospital. Did you hear this story?
Mm-hmm.
At West Jefferson, where tents were set up outside the hospital, I was stripped of my clothing, washed with water and several showers before I was allowed to go into the hospital. When I asked for my clothing, I was told that BP had confiscated all my clothing and it would not be returned.
Whoa.
The restraining order requests that BP
refrain
from altering, testing or destroying clothing or other evidence or potential evidence when workers become ill.
Well, they knew the stuff was toxic.
Right.
They used it at the Exxon Valdez spill.
Right.
Right. And, of course, Tony Hayward, as we kept saying yesterday, said that it's probably food poisoning what they have. Of course, many doctors are saying the fishermen's symptoms are more aligned with respiratory illness, obviously.
Right.
Their clothing had food poisoning.
Clearly.
Yes.
It was egg salad all over their clothing. It had been in the sun for far too long. Yes.
Let's go to David in Massachusetts on the oil spill. Hey, Dave.
There's got to be a strong indication here, at least I hope there is, of grand jury indictments being brought against BP officials because they caused people to die because of their carelessness and their lack of providing security equipment, which led to the explosion of the oil rig and the death of 11 people.
I agree. And that's
right.
I think that's where it starts.
Yeah, that's where it starts.
And BP was calling the shots. They were overriding everyone else there on the rig saying,
yep.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Janet Napolitano yesterday about
all of these efforts are iffy because of the circumstances of doing them so far underneath the ocean, and efforts so far have failed.
I don't understand the thing, how people can be saying, oh, well, we'll do it again, we'll just make sure. I mean, clearly, am I right, Jim? We do not have the technology.
Right.
Isn't this proving beyond a shadow of a doubt we do not have the technology?
Yeah.
To fix this if it happens again.
This is in many reasons why we don't dump nuclear waste into space. You know what I mean? Like, everybody's like, why don't we just take the waste into space? Because we can't guarantee another challenger.
Because called gravity.
Yeah, right.
All right. 58 minutes after the hour. Back with Tom Hartman live in studio next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Listening to the best of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LeBoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Don't forget Mama on the Ed Show tonight on MSNBC.
That's right.
And then check the calendar section. Bill Press and I will be in Asheville, North Carolina, Saturday night for a VIP listener meet and greet and thing.
Meet and greet and thing?
Yes.
Type deal. Type
mm-hmm.
deal.
Yeah.
Member
yeah.
FDIC.
Get naked, throw an ice kind of thing.
What?
All right.
Wait,
what?
Go back.
What?
Yeah, you can't drop that bomb and run. No.
All right. Shelley Wright is late, and it's all your fault, Chris, because you made her bring her guitar or her oboe or something. Jim, it was hilarious. I saw in my producer notes today, we asked to bring her guitar. I'm like, do you understand the logistics in New York? No. I don't even remember to bring my keys when I have to walk 40 blocks.
Stephanie, a bassoon would be difficult.
You read that wrong. Her people said that she was going to be bringing her guitar.
I'm just picturing her trying to find a trolley to in which to put her bass and her guitar and her, I don't know, what else?
Trumpet. Drum kit.
Well, Yo-Yo Ma traveled through the streets of Manhattan with his cello.
Well, and what happened there? That didn't end well, did it?
He lost it.
Yeah.
He got it back, though.
All right.
How do you lose a cello?
You leave it in the trunk of a cab.
I knew it was in my
pocket. So she's on her way. She's in a cab somewhere, which can be, listen. Trust me, that's
It is much quicker through Albany. Trust me.
But she is not bringing her guitar. We have just found out.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she's bringing a CD instead, but I don't know that you have a CD player in there.
Oh, as if I would know how to operate it anyway. Are you kidding me? I can't even figure out which microphone is which in here, but all right, we will figure something out. Because she has a fabulous...
I can watch her videos on YouTube.
Yeah, he's been over here sitting in a corner making
I think
noises.
His screensaver is some Shelley Wright.
She has a great voice, in addition to being beautiful. Yes.
Yes. Jim, you do realize that she just announced that she doesn't want you. That's the thing that just makes men hotter.
Of course.
I don't understand. Yeah, the guy that owns the show is going to show up. Every guy I know.
Hi, would you like some breakfast meat? That's what he did for us.
Yes, he did.
Pathetic. I have to get the fire hoses out around here.
In Denver,
all right.
I think he did.
Denver,
that.
That's right.
Yes.
Well, everywhere.
He got us breakfast meat.
Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. All right. So we are reading Shelley Wright. Oh, she does have a great new CD out called Lifted Off the Ground and a great new book called Like Me. She was just on Oprah, and it's just a really amazing story. She's the first country singer to come out as openly gay, and it's very scary, and we need to embrace her in a big progressive group hug.
That's right. Sounds good to me. Oh. I meant that, of course,
Jim,
completely.
Platonically. You would be the one that would do the reach around when we are just trying to be supportive.
I'm sure she has a nice butt.
She does.
Okay, get all of this out of the system before she gets here. All right. Meanwhile, Mama has a magical new Facebook page, by the way.
That's right.
Which is you can get to from the StephanieMiller.com. Did you see who else, Jim, has one?
Oh. I'm learning how to work the internet. Look at me. It's a series of tubes, I understand.
You can, there's all sorts of delights on there. You can pre-order his upcoming book, Decision Points.
Boy.
Or you can visit the George W. Bush Presidential Center, the George W. Bush Institute, or the Bush-Cheney Alumni Association.
He has an institution?
Institution, I could see. Psychiatric institution.
But the Hague were the institution here we're dealing with.
George Bush and Institute don't belong in the same sentence. No, it doesn't.
All right. By the way, you know what? The other reason Shelley Wright might be late, not only because you made her bring her oboe, but also she may have used Google for directions. Did you see a pedestrian is suing Google?
Yes.
I don't trust any of those. I don't trust any of them. I don't trust my GPS. I don't trust the directions. They're always wrong.
No. Usually it's the input that you put into it that makes it wrong.
Well,
it's usually the user.
Sometimes it's wrong.
Sometimes they list streets that don't exist anymore.
Well, that's when you need to update your
software. Or haven't been built yet.
Yeah. Or in the case of the time we were in Denver, remember Jim and the guy that owns the show put it on Avoid Highways, and
yes.
It took us like 7 hours.
To go from Boulder to downtown Denver.
Yes. There was a function of avoiding highways on GPS.
We could have gone on the freeway, but no, we took surface streets from Boulder to Denver.
Recalculating route. A woman who says she relied on Google for walking directions in Utah got her hit on a major roadway has filed a lawsuit against Google, claiming that it supplied unsafe directions. I don't know how that's going to work, but. All right, and this is just, I don't know, one story that has shattered my entire... I always had fond memories of Arby's when I was a... we always... I don't know why. We would go to Arby's every now and again, my family and I.
I always loved the horsey sauce.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
Yes.
Yes. Well, police have charged an Iowa City man with indecent exposure after witnesses allegedly saw him masturbating in front of an Arby's restaurant. And now...
Okay, making his own horsey sauce.
Chris.
What?
I just hope he wasn't doing it near the meat slicer. That would have been.
Ow!
That's not wise.
Now I'll never think of Arby's the same way again. All right, let's do a little celebrity stack. Here's the kind of thing I will never, because, you know, as you know, I moved to New York, partially not have to get up anymore at, you know.
At stupid o'clock.
And go to bed at
insane o'clock.
Has it improved my social life?
Absolutely not.
No, I am still literally shut in. That drinks fox wine and French kisses my dogs every night. However, this is the kind of thing I will never get invited to. Prince Harry to play in New York City charity polo match.
Oh,
he will participate in the third annual Vive Clicquot Polo Classic.
Vive Clicquot on Governor's Island. Vive, not Vive, Vive.
He'll be playing an Argentinian polo player who's also a model for Ralph Lauren.
Mm.
People like Madonna and Kate Hudson and LL Cool J will be there. See, that's where you meet 22-year-old Brazilian boy toys. That's where things like that. The Vive Clicquot polo thing.
Vive Clicquot.
Yeah, but once he realizes you're not a billionaire, it's like, okay.
And you're not going to get invited if you don't know how to pronounce the name of the champagne.
Cool. Yeah. She can drink it.
Yeah,
I can drink it.
I'm sure you've had some Vive in your lifetime.
That.
Yeah.
All right.
After four glasses,
you
can pronounce it.
The superficial reporting, if Lindsay Lohan had a penis, she'd be waving it at the legal system right now. It might seem
that's
like bad timing.
Image.
That Lindsay Lohan was ordered last week to submit to random drug testing just days before she had her wisdom teeth pulled, but we learned that Lindsay got a pass from probation. So basically, Lindsay just scored a free pass to pop Vicodin like M&M's.
Oh, God.
Well, if Lindsay had a penis, we would know by now, because there have been lots of pictures of
her crotch, yes.
Okay. D-listed also writing, Courtney Love looks good. In my wildest trip,
she
I never thought I'd write that headline ever. She does. Did you see that?
I saw her a couple months ago, actually, at the premiere. She back is doing an interview or something.
And the picture of her is at what? The superficial or is it D-listed?
This is a D-listed. She looks good.
Yeah.
She does. She
absolutely.
Looks good. She cleans
shockingly.
Up nice.
Well, she has dull parts.
D-listed writing, for once, Courtney doesn't look like she was plucked out of a fishing net, dipped in used glitter lube, and then dried off with the farts from a hippo's ass. All right. All right. D-listed also reporting, Jane Lynch got married to her girlfriend, psychologist Lara Embry, in Massachusetts over the weekend. I love how D-listed ends it. Congrats to Sue and Lara. We're just hoping they move to Pennsylvania where they will breed purebred poodles and start a magazine called American Bitch. From Best in Show.
Best in Show, yeah.
Hilarious. Hilarious. Good for them. All right. Lots to get to. By the way, here's a complete quinky-dink, Jim. Did you see this? Halliburton's campaign donations have just spiked for some weird reason.
Huh. Halliburton's donations to Republicans, politicians.
Yeah,
yes.
That's weird. They've made 14 contributions during the month of May, 13 to Republicans, just one
almost
to a Democrat.
Like they want to influence legislation in some way.
Hmm. It's weird. What could they be concerned about, I wonder? Hmm.
Well, it has very minor impacts, all these political contributions.
Yeah.
Very modest.
Response. I'm sure. All right. The president, by the way, starting the 2010 campaign early, he was seizing on, delivered his first major midterm hit on the Republicans during a quick trip to Western Pennsylvania.
Some of you may have noticed that we have been building this foundation without much help from our friends in the other party.
Hmm.
From our efforts to rescue the economy, to health insurance reform, to financial reform, most have sat on the sidelines and shouted from the bleachers. They said no to tax cuts for small businesses, no to tax credits for college tuition, no to investments in clean energy. They said no to protecting patients from insurance companies and consumers from big banks.
Yay.
Yay. Hey, Sanchez and Montebello, hola, que tal, adios mio, my friend.
Mi amigo. Y los Buques del Norte, muy buenos nachos.
Yes.
Igualmente.
You know what? You're just playing Obama right now, and that was the subject of what I wanted to talk to you guys about. No matter how you look at it, I mean, look, I have my beefs with Obama, but I understand how the culture is here. So I want to realistically say something here, that Obama needs to go to one of these madams with the crystal balls and try to channel the spirit of Rodney Dangerfield, because in politics right now, Obama Obama is never going to get any respect. I would love to see him up on the podium, nervously shaking his tie, going, I'm telling you guys, I got no respect here, you know?
Huh.
Realistically, that's, you know, because the way the situation is right now, there's nothing that's going to be done about the spill or the gusher because of the fact that, what, we're waiting until August for this thing to be plugged up, I mean, possibly plugged up. So, you know, of course they're going to blame him. But
yeah, I mean, well, I mean, by the way, did you see Grampy McSame? Did you see this, Jim, that he blamed Obama for the Gaza flotilla raid? What?
What?
Huh? How?
The, what? Huh?
He declared the deadly flotilla raid was another step in a chain of unfortunate events, beginning with President Obama's insistence that there be a settlement freeze.
Oh, come
what?
On. That had nothing at all
nothing
to do with
it.
Yeah, I don't...
Is it about time for us to, like, stop writing blank checks to Israel?
Well, first of all, you know what? They've got to stop building settlements. I mean, it is part of the problem over there. You know.
Although I will say that if you are on a humanitarian mission, you probably shouldn't beat people up with sticks. You know, they take a cue from the civil rights movement, and
they were boarded. Lumps.
Well, I know, but it just gave them a pass. To do it, assuming that actually happened, I believe it actually did. But there's some.
Yeah, well, that's the you know exactly. We got to find out exactly what did happen.
Yeah.
But all right, 18 minutes after the hour, if Shelley Wright got her oboe out of the cab, she'll hopefully be here next. as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Sweet Lady Gaga, that is good.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hey, folks, Stephanie Miller here. You know, in 5,000 years, governments and currencies have come and gone. But gold remains real money. That kind of stability is very desirable in times like these. That's why you should call my friends at ITM Trading. ITM has an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. I have some historic Double Eagle gold coins from ITM. You should, too. ITM's been safely delivering gold and other precious metals for almost 15 years. We're all hopeful about our country's finances, but hope may not be enough. In this economy, you've got to think ahead. I like to take my cues from large, sophisticated buyers, and with China and India buying up tons of gold recently, I think gold's an important diversification right now. Call the experts at ITM Trading, a loyal sponsor of my program for over 4 years now. They'll answer all your questions and send you a free information packet detailing what you need to know about owning gold. Call 1-888-OWN-GOLD. That's 1-888-OWN-GOLD. 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 All right, it is the Stephanie Miller Show.
I get the impression that single white female isn't looking for a man like me. I just get the feeling.
I'm sure you'll say howdy-do to her anyway, Jim. Well, howdy-do. Shelley Wright, the update, she texted me. She's four blocks away, three, I don't know.
Is she walking those blocks? Because then she'll be a sweaty mess like you.
She'll be all sweaty up in this who.
That's right.
Because you made her bring in all her instruments or whatever, I don't know. All right.
Okay. Are we about to get it just a little hot and sweaty in this who?
All right.
Yes.
Yes,
we are.
1-800-HOT-SWEATY-CHICKS is the number. Shelley will be here momentarily.
My song, Married White Fat Guy. No, I wouldn't. You hit the charts.
Yeah, I don't know that would scan so well.
Well, ask her if she would like to hear your hit song, Married White Fat Guy. No. Perhaps she'll sing a couple bars for her. All right, let's go to a... you make me laugh. Susie in Ohio, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi, Stephanie. I just wanted to remind everybody about Haiti. That's still a mess, and I'm hoping we're going to handle this oil spill better than we did Haiti. I have an iPad, which is in the kitchen. I don't know how to turn it off. I'm outside. I picked up some information on there about Haiti, and they're still living in tents, and garbage all over, and they're sick. And so not to add more sadness to the show, but, you know, there is Haiti still.
Sure.
So,
yeah.
I hope we do better this time. I don't know. We just can't seem to get it right, can
we?
It's
all disaster capitalism.
It's just I just can't stand it. I was so happy my grandson said the other day, he says, you know, I think all the badness in the world is due to greed. He's 16.
Yep.
Yay. He got it
yeah.
Right.
Yeah, so only they can save us now. Exactly.
Love of money is the root of all evil.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Lynette in, not that I wouldn't like some more, I'm just saying. Lynette in Minneapolis, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi, you guys. Oh, my gosh. George Bush has a Facebook page. I'll check that out right away.
Oh, my God. Let's go. Let's everybody go friend him.
Oh, my God.
Except to put up a picture of my ass on there. Sat on the Xerox machine.
I remember, I did a spit take at him saying, the first time I ever heard him say, yeah, Americans are addicted to oil. You know, and I was like, what the huh?
What the huh?
Because I wish that more right-wing people would do some history checking, like the history of electric vehicles, for example. I mean, our first car was, I think that was either steam or electric, and then we switched to this oil technology because it was cheaper at the time, and then the people that were in the oil business, like the Bush family, could figure out, you know, a way that this would be more profitable to them. So here we are, all addicted to oil. We're being basically blamed by the people that got us hooked in first place.
Right, and we had this right-wing caller earlier, Lynette, that sounded like we should just face it and not even try clean energy. It's like, thank you, Robert Palmer. You're going to have to face it. We're addicted to oil. You know, it's like, what? That's because we need... Right, we need to invest.
They get these right-wingers to then go, yeah, I'm addicted to this, and it's my fault, and I don't know why. It's just, what? Do some history. I mean, so here we are. Jimmy Carter had the solar panels on the White House.
Reagan tore
them
off.
Right. So where's the intelligence? We could do many shows on what's missing in right-wing craziness. They don't even associate history or look up anything or be curious about it.
Yeah, exactly. Wait, who tore the solar panels off, Jim? What was that?
That was the guy you voted for.
Yeah, Reagan voted.
Oh, Reagan tore the solar panels off
the White House. Off the White House that Jimmy Carter had installed.
It was symbolic that he wanted to... Didn't want to go down that route of modernizing energy. No, that's because that's the problem of money in politics. The oil companies buy a lot of people off.
So JFK's hookers in the White House pool, that was fine. But solar panels!
One thing JFK did also was try to stop the oil depletion allowance. And look what happened to him. So,
By the way, here's one of the new winners, a Mississippi Republican congressional candidate. Alan Nunley. He secured the Republican nomination. He was the establishment favorite. Mm-hmm. He says Democratic policies are a bigger threat to the U.S. than Pearl Harbor or 9/11. That's one of their new guys.
Wow.
That's who they got coming up the coming up the pike there. All right. We like to keep our eyes on all the crazies. All right. So Shelley Wright should be here, I believe, when we come back. Jim is just tuning up his guitar to play her his hit single, Married White Fat Guy.
No. We will Jim's not fat.
No.
He is not. Oh, I can't. I've got to get back to L.A. so
Too
I can work on his self-esteem. When I'm there and he's feeling me up, he's much in a much better mood. All right, 29 minutes after the hour. Right back with country star Shelley Wright next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
All my friends are gay. All my friends are gay.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show.
34. One, anyway.
Go ahead and hit Squeezy's music so we can get it out of the way. It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 34 minutes after the hour.
Oh my.
Country star Shelley Wright, who became the first. All right, Jim, just.
Hey, you played the music. I mean.
Hold on a second. The who became the first country star to come out as openly gay. She has a fabulous new book called Like Me and a fabulous new CD called Lifted Off the Ground. Jim Ward, please say hello to Shelley Wright. Go ahead.
Hello, Shelley Wright.
Hi, Jim. Is this Jim who sings that song, Single?
Actually,
I'm married white fat guy. That's it.
Yeah. I love that song. That was one of the first 8-tracks I ever bought.
I know. I should just shut up and drive. But no.
Oh, look at you sucking up already.
Oh, you're so good, Jim.
So, Shelley, first of all, let's get that out of the way right away. What is it about men that this seems to only have made them hotter? The announcement that you do not want them seems to, what is that one?
She's not looking for a man like me, apparently. That's,
no.
Not.
You know, if they want to objectify me in this manner, that's fine. They have the same shot with me that they had when they thought I was straight.
Right. But it's just, they cannot be dissuaded. It's sort of like I'm sure every lesbian, you know, that's their dream come true, too, is to have, some married white fat guy in the corner watching them make love to their girlfriend.
It's all we think about.
Exactly.
It's all I think about.
Jim.
I have to leave the room. I must take a break.
All right.
Pardon me.
Jim, now you see, you fulfilled your fantasy as well. Where do we even start? This was like a month ago.
We start last weekend. You and me on the dance floor.
Oh, okay. So I met Shelley at Melissa Etheridge's birthday party. Hal Sparks and I went.
Yeah.
And did you get the prerequisite apology? Because I don't dance. I act slutty to music. And so.
Yeah,
it
came registered mail, your apology.
And we all were just sort of acting slutty to
music. Yeah, I believe I was the only one, the only sober one. Were you? I think you were sober.
I was. I don't.
Were
I don't,
you?
Oh,
I don't
God,
know.
She was
I just,
not.
Okay.
Shut
all right, up, Chris. I was just going to give you an out there.
But I'm so thrilled to meet you. You are so brave and so terrific. And this was only a month ago. I mean, the fact that because it's a very conservative, the country music crowd.
Yes.
Is a conservative crowd. And this was just I love people, don't you, that go, oh, she's trying to sell books and records. And, you know, like, this is a good career move. Like, you just did this for attention.
Yeah, that's been the weirdest thing to have, especially, and it's coming from within my community of my industry, which is a funny indictment, really cynical. Oh, she's just trying to sell books and records. Wow. Because historically, that's moved a lot of product.
Yeah, because that's always a good move in the country world.
Yeah.
But it seems
it's weird to me. I don't know.
I mean, I literally, choked up. I watched your whole Oprah interview, and it was so moving. I mean, I think for anybody, that the kind of courage that took, that it almost seemed like you felt like you didn't have any choice but to do that.
Well, I didn't. It became life or death for me, as it does for a lot of people who come out. Coming out, I don't think that I'm unique in coming out because in the difficulty of my coming out because I'm a celebrity. It's hard for a math teacher to come out.
Right.
It's hard for anyone to come out. It doesn't matter who you are. But mine did become a matter of life or death. I had very, as I write in my book, like me, I had very masterfully painted myself into a corner. From the outside looking in, look at Shelley Wright. She's got success and relative wealth, relative health, seemingly. Look at that. Hit records and look at that happy life she's living. But I had created these very real pieces of my life, a successful country music career, that I could never get to intersect with the other real part of me, which is that I'm a lesbian.
What now? I know you said on Oprah, and I don't know if that was 2 or 3 weeks ago, but you said that you've only heard from 2 other country stars. What has the reaction been so far?
At that time, that was true, and now I've actually heard from others. In fact, a couple of others who saw that Oprah clip and emailed and said, "Oh my God, Shelley, I'm so sorry. I saw the Oprah thing and realized, holy cow, I haven't reached out to you, and I'm so sorry that I hadn't." I have heard from everyone I needed to hear from. I've heard from everyone who mattered to me.
Yeah,
and,
okay.
But as far as the industry goes, the industry has been amazing, and the fans have been amazing.
Wow.
But that doesn't mean we haven't gotten hate mail.
Yeah,
I've gotten hate mail.
Listen, sister, you should take a peek in my inbox every now and again and see what... No, I mean, it's... it is amazing that it seems to, like, your dad on Oprah, that was such a touching moment because he's so supportive, and it almost seems like you felt like you lost time being close to him. You were so busy judging, thinking he would judge you that you, in a way, you judged him. And
well, and that happens.
Yeah, and he, I mean, how adorable is your dad? Oh, my God.
Well, he's pretty adorable, Stephanie, but you have to keep in mind that not everyone gets such a loving response from their father. My dad is a guy that told gay jokes at the dinner table.
Right.
And he'll tell you. He'll tell you that he used to think much differently about gay issues until it was his kid sitting there saying, Dad, I'm gay. And he said, you know, as he said on Oprah, the minute that Gay became his daughter, everything changed.
Right.
But not everyone has that experience with the loved one. And that's why people are afraid to come out, because we're so afraid to lose the love of those that we love.
Right.
And,
well,
you know.
I mean, you obviously talk about in the book, I mean, that's the, you know, obviously dramatic moment, but that you literally had a gun in your mouth, that you were in so much pain over being gay because you had been raised in a religious background, right?
Yes, and I had come to terms with my being gay. I wasn't so tortured with being gay at that point in early 2006 when I decided, okay, I'm going to have to kill myself. And I'm not being melodramatic in the book when I detail it. I really just didn't see a way out. My thinking that it was better to kill myself was because I couldn't figure out a way to get the pieces of my life to fit in my career. And I had lost the love of my life. I'd had a long-term relationship with my partner, Julia.
Who you didn't tell anybody about. Even your best friends didn't know. Wow.
No, we were not just in the closet. We were behind the sheetrock in the closet. We were really in the closet.
Deeper than this oil spill. You were deep.
We couldn't be found. And I had lost her. I couldn't find a plan to get to survive it. And I couldn't figure it out.
Yeah. I have a friend that has a very similar, you know, background to you. Was a homecoming queen, came out when she was in high school, lost all her friends. Now she works, I don't know if you know Trevor Project, but on the suicide hotlines for gay kids.
Wow.
And I think I told you the story that we have a guy called Right Wing Jerry who calls our show all the time. We have these political fights. But he called in last week, and there's not much that's sincere about talk radio. It's mostly all just a load of bull. But but this guy was like in tears because his sister had just killed herself. Because she was gay, and he was literally in tears because he knew that he and his family hadn't been supportive. And so, you know, we end up hooking him up with the Trevor Foundation, Trevor Project, and,
great.
You know, a lot of other people donated in his sister's name. But it is amazing that, like you said, with your father, they say that's the number one predicator of opening hearts and minds is when you know somebody.
It's
your sister or your daughter or your brother or your, right?
Yeah, if we can attach a face and a name to that tiny word gay, it changes the scariness of that word to people. When it's a they and a them, and then it becomes an us, it changes everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember last weekend at that crazy, wild, insane debauchery of a party that we were involved in.
I told these guys it looks exactly like Fox News would think a Hollywood party would look like.
Exactly.
That's exactly
and
what it looked
some.
Like.
And then some.
Yes.
It was nuts.
Yes. Just a tequila swilling like cluster. It was just a.
There were no clothes.
Hollywood
no one,
liberal elite. It
we
was
were
just,
naked.
Woo, woo, woo.
We were all naked. It was insane. And the body oils. Oh my God. But I remember.
You know what, Chris? This is the kind of party that Bill O'Reilly would have said humanizes homosexuals, and we cannot have that.
Humanizes homosexuals.
He was there, which was so weird. That was a weird thing he was doing on the dance floor.
Oh,
yes.
Dear.
The snake.
And I don't think she heard that, but Bill O'Reilly literally said
humanizes homosexuals.
Exactly.
Oh my God, that was so creepy. He said that.
Yeah.
Oh, he was complaining, I believe, at the time, right, Chris, about Hollywood movies that humanize homosexuals.
Yeah.
Because we can't have that.
Yeah, he was saying that Brokeback Mountain.
If people start thinking they're humans.
Yeah, Brokeback Mountain was humanizing homosexuals.
What's next?
Ew.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Oh, that's right. Brokeback Mountain humanized homosexuals. That's
right.
And that's what was bad.
Oh, I'm grossed out. I can't even think. I'm sorry. You take it from here.
We threw her off now. So let's get to the important part. Who's going to play you in the movie? Is there some...
I think Shelley would do a good job.
Sissy Spacek has to play every country star? What's the deal?
She does. Or her daughter, Skylar.
Yeah, that's true.
Could be.
And she's a great singer, her daughter, Skylar.
Yeah.
Is.
You know, it's interesting because like you were saying, like you're going out on tour soon. I mean, because I know on Oprah, you said Oprah was saying you know you're afraid you're going to lose your career, and you said I still don't know if I will. I mean, you've been a musician all your life. This is what you want to do. This is who you are. Mm-hmm. Do you still have that fear, or do you feel like there has been no backlash yet? Do you feel like everything? You know, everything's going as planned, the record, the tour?
There's been a backlash. We still don't know who remains of my fan base. You know, I've done so much with the troops, and I have a, you know, we don't know who's still there for me.
But you told a great story on Oprah that you ran into some, because you've done so much with the troops, and that you ran into some of them.
Yeah, we ran into a bunch of guys in uniform that said, you know, Shelley's been there for us, we're going to be there for her. Now, we'll see if that translates into an actual invitation to come entertain for the troops again, as I've done since the mid-90s. Because here's the thing, with the troops, there's a divide in the ideology of the actual boots on the ground and the guys at the top who put things into action.
Mm-hmm.
Because I believe that the mindset of the don't ask, don't tell policy is not actually the mindset of the boots on the ground guys and gals.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a divide in ideology.
Right.
So
just
because the guys and gals in uniform say, hey, we love Shelley and she's been there for us, we'll see if that actually makes it to the top.
Right. Well, that's why, I mean, you're here in an interesting time. We're glad, because, you know, we've been obviously debating on the show, don't tell. Yeah, just a little bit. And, but, I mean, it's interesting. I'm debating literally like a right-winger last night, and he's like, well, you can't have them in the same bunks, and there's going to be sexual tension. And a guy turns to me and goes, I think he's talking about himself.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like, don't people project?
It's like, trust me, no gay guy wants to touch you. You know?
Isn't it funny that it just means that you just want to do it all the time? If you're gay, you just got to do it with everybody.
Everybody you meet of the same sex, exactly.
You just have no judgment. Just got to do it.
You literally have no, like, no taste at all.
Yeah, I saw a woman on the street selling pretzels a second ago, and I had the cab driver stop. I had to have her.
Uh-huh. All right, good. Well, thank you for revealing that on the show.
And the pretzels.
Yeah.
And the pretzels.
Shelley Wright just did a pretzel woman on the street here in New York. All right.
She was a girl.
Take that, Oprah, if you think you're getting all the bombshells. All right. Some breaking news here on the Stephanie Miller Show. That smoked mutton nut gal better be careful of. It has the cart downstairs.
What's that, chestnut girl? Yeah.
All right. We're going to talk Oprah, Elena Kagan, Don't Ask, Don't Tell, Ted Haggard, and much more when we return with country star Shelley Wright right here on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Wow, how does this show stay so fresh?
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Got a bright red sticker on the back of my car, says United States Marines. And yesterday a lady in a minivan held up her middle finger at me. Does she think she knows what I stand for? Or the things that I believe. Just by looking at a sticker for the U.S. Marines on the bumper of my SUV.
Shelley Wright, there she is. It is
That's the
Stephanie Miller Show, 52 minutes after the hour. She had to, during the commercial break, she went down and had sex with the woman that sells kielbasa on the street cart because, as she revealed, gay people want to have sex with everyone of the same sex.
Right. That's right.
Yes. We just made out. We did not go out again. Just made out.
All right. So noted.
I'm a good Midwestern girl. Please. God.
You were late because, I don't know, Chris, apparently my producers asked you to bring your guitar and, I don't know, maybe your oboe, and you did reveal to me that you were a trumpet-playing band geek in high school, which that had to make you more of an outcast than being gay, didn't it? I mean,
why do you want to treat me like a zero? Why do you do this to me? Yeah, I see on your note sheet, you just put a little star by that. You're just so proud of yourself. Belittle her.
I played the trumpet in my pep band. I'm like, no.
Yes, I did.
Oh, so that had to prepare you for the ostracization that would later.
Yes.
All right.
And I went on the Jimmy Kimmel show to admit that.
So now, Chris, you can confirm to Shelley this is unprecedented. Not only do I never read the books of the people that we have on the show, because what?
Yeah, who has time for that?
I'm like Larry King, so you have a book. Tell us about that.
I know. Isn't that hard to watch?
But here's what happened. No, but I, because I wanted to support you.
Thank you.
Because here's also the thing that has happened is you're going to have a whole new fans. And because we have to confess, right? Chris, here in the liberal world, we're not really country music.
Well, I worked in country music in radio for 6 years. Yeah.
Really?
But you notice in some segments, no offense, that it kind of went like, who's that? Oh my God, she's hot. And then, oh wow, she can sing. You know?
So neat.
Let's go buy. So everybody go buy her CD and her book right now. Embrace her in a magical progressive hug. Do it! Here's what I did, by the way. I had a liberal frenzy at the bookstore at JFK because I thought, oh, I'll read it on the plane on the way back.
Right.
And they didn't have it. And I went ape dump on that woman. I said, she was on Oprah. What? It's homophobia, isn't it? Why don't you have that book?
You did?
Yeah.
Oh, I love that.
Oh, they'll remember me at the bookstore at JFK. Let me tell you what.
I love your sheet.
I said, it's every the subject matter, isn't it?
Haters.
Yeah, you haters.
Chris, where were
you?
And
then I knocked over the Sean Hannity book and left in a huff.
I was at Camel Country 108 in Phoenix.
Oh, my gosh. Who was the PD at the time? Jeff Peterson?
No, this was... Oh, God.
Excuse me. Rest of us don't speak country.
Okay. I know.
Okay. All right.
Alan Sledge was the PD at the time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was a while ago.
We were talking about Dixie Chicks. I did a panel with Natalie Maines, and...
Right.
You know, we were saying that I'm sure that, you know, that obviously it's a very different thing. In fact, it was because they didn't like Bush. You see what I'm saying? That's funny. Okay. All right. Jim!
What?
You made me go there.
No, I didn't.
All right, so...
Yeah, you went there by yourself, Missy.
But do you have fear? Does stuff like that give you fear? Because there's, you know, and that was...
Of course. Of course, yes. To see how a fan base can turn on an artist, yes, of course. And to see how an industry who has just completely held up an artist and look how great they are and then burn their records outside of a radio station, of course that frightened me.
Yeah.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. You know, but it seems thus far, like you said, and I hope that that continues, that, you know, that the country crowd proves to us they're not homophobes and that you get embraced by a whole nother segment, like you say, that maybe has just found you now. It was interesting. We were saying you were on Oprah, and I thought it was interesting when I was watching the interview because I thought she's been a victim of those whispers for years. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I think look at Elena Kagan, the Supreme Court nominee. Her friends had to come on and go, no, she's not gay. You know, but even they said they felt bad having to do that because it implies it's a bad thing.
Right. Yeah, I think that any female, unmarried, successful, that gets said about us, and to run to a defense of no, I'm not, does imply that you're saying I'm not a thief, no, I'm not a murderer. I mean, why do we have to defend that? But then we do, and it's all very ugly, isn't it?
Well, you said something I thought powerful on Oprah. You were saying, you know, you can call me ugly, which no one does. Anyway, that was cute. You could say you don't like my songs, but I'm not going to let you say lesbian as if it's the bad thing. I'm going to take my power back.
Yeah.
And that would be a huge turning point for you.
Well, you know, people whisper about me, and they have for a long time, and I haven't been able to stand up and say, well, let me take control of that. Let me not just let you whisper about me. Let me shout this for you. I am gay. And I've heard just salacious rumors about myself that I had a bus driver catch me in the back of the bus sleeping with a radio, a woman in radio, and that I did this and I did that. And gosh, boy, I have had an exciting life, apparently. That wasn't true. That never happened. And for years, I wanted to just say, I am gay, but I'm not a tramp. I'm not without judgment. I'm not immoral.
Right.
I had a partner that whole time. And I wanted to take my power back and declare who I am and help define what I am.
You know, Ted Haggard is in the news. Again, he's opening a new church, but he still is sticking by that the church won't advocate a policy that it will encourage people to strive toward heterosexual monogamy. And that, to me, is the saddest part, is the, mm-hmm. Is the hypocrisy. Oh, no, we're out of time.
No, no.
All right, she's going to come back. ShellyWright.com is the website.
ShellyWright.com.
We have a link to it.
ShellyWright.com. I'm on Facebook as well. I'm on Twitter. Don't move. You're moving.
We'll see.